Kim, welcome back to the program. I'll start with this. Do you believe the last 3 weeks and what we have experienced in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd is the opening of the floodgates to change, or are you concerned that once this cycles off of the front pages and out of the news cycle, we'll just go back to how things were?
Good morning. Thanks for having me this morning. To your question, I guess the word I would use is I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't think that the news cycle is going to be enough to take us back to where we were. I think the continuing protest, not just across the United States, but across the globe, and how those protests are even accelerating, not decelerating, is an indication that people have sort of hit a wall and are not turning back. Having said that, I think we have to, as I've said a lot over the past couple of weeks, at the same time, move from emotion to action to ensure that we start doing the real work to make the real change that's going to be necessary across a lot of dimensions.
How have things changed in 10, 20, 30 years? Or have they changed at all? Or are things gotten worse in your mind? Just in the way things have changed in society right now? Or is this something where you think it's just the fact that the media is covering it more? People now, everyone has a cell phone and can film things. Is this one of those things where you haven't really seen a big change in our society?
I think for sure the fact that everybody holds a cell phone and we are seeing a lot of the egregious injustices that have been going on for many, many, many decades played out on the live screen and in the live theater. And that makes a difference. I think this particular moment with George Floyd was exacerbated by the fact that we were all on a global pause. And so I think that everyone was quiet. And in that quiet for over 8 minutes, we saw a man's life be taken out in front of us. And I think it was something that just resonated with our humanity. It would be hard for it not to. Having said that, I think that we have had a lot of what I call diversity theater play out over the past couple of decades, a sense of progress that has not been systemic and sustainable over time, and that's the real work that still has to be done.
Kim Davis is our guest. She is the NHL Executive Vice President of Social Impact, Growth Initiatives, and Legislative Affairs. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Kim, how much dialogue over the last couple of weeks since Evander Kane and other black current or former NHL players announced the creation of the Hockey Diversity Initiative, how much dialogue, conversation have you or has the league had with that group of players?
I would say we've had a fair amount of dialogue. In fact, I was on a call with the Alliance last evening up until almost 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I think their work is important. I see them as I've called it, almost like a special forces unit that is focused exclusively on one of the many, but one of the most painful and most insidious issues that we are facing as we look at diversity and inclusion and equity, and that is racism. And so I think that their voices and their views will be important as part of that conversation.
How do we drill down on what tend to be described as the microaggressions Kim. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's very easy to spot an overt racist. Someone who, for example, would just say the N-word. It's very easy to spot an overt homophobe. For example, someone who would say the three-letter F-word, or in some cases, the six-letter F-word. With microaggressions, it's whether it's the sideways look or kind of the whisper in another player's ear meant to get under his skin. I know a number of gay men who absolutely hate sports because as kids and teenagers, they didn't feel welcomed in the culture. How do we get to a point where the microaggressions, if they're not eliminated, are significantly mitigated? The overt stuff, that's obvious. It's the covert stuff that's far more difficult to tackle.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first step in this journey on any of this work begins with education. And I don't mean check-the-box education. I don't mean an hour-long session where you have a glossary of terms in front of you and you think you've licked it because you now understand what unconscious bias is. I mean deep, uncomfortable conversations where people sit in rooms and they hear stories of the experiences that people have, that they're willing to do their own work, that they are willing to understand the difference between being a racist and what systemic and institutional racism is and what anti-racism work is about. And that takes time, and that's something that we aren't typically willing to put in and make time for. So it starts with that and a commitment to that. And then secondly, after all of that work gets done, there have to be penalties for behavior. And I think that's a step that we haven't been willing to take, that when people, not just the egregious things that you've outlined, but when people are behaving in ways that are anti-racist, and that covers LGBTQ issues, it covers gender issues, it covers a multitude of issues, that we're willing to put penalties in place.
Kim Davis is our guest. She is the NHL Executive Vice President of Social Impact, Growth Initiatives, and Legislative Affairs. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We are hoping, especially on this show, and you know, we want to see in media, us carry the conversation after the last protest or after the last, I guess, you know, social media presence that you see a lot of athletes have. What does that day kind of look like? Because that's really the day where we're going to see change. The tweets are great. The Instagram posts are show people that maybe not, you know, open to this conversation. And we talk about it on the show, but there is a time where it won't be the conversation. What does that day kind of look like?
Well, I think for starters, the media can be hugely helpful in doing their own anti-racist work. And what I mean by that is, to be clear, racism is not just the black and brown and gay people's problem. It's everyone's problem because it erodes the fabric of society. And that means that each of us at every level have to use our platforms and our privilege and our power and our resources to help our colleagues, our friends, and our communities overcome these challenges, and the time for that is now. And so I think that that's an important step. This is a journey. It's not an event. We have to build trust and new ways of being and operating together, and that's going to take time. And typically we get weary. We want quick fixes, and we want quick wins. And this work is not going to happen overnight. The problem didn't occur overnight, and the solution isn't going to happen overnight. And so we are going to have to be diligent and focused on the long game.
Kim, I mean, it's Pride Month, and Pride at its core is a protest. It's we are human beings too, and we will not settle for being treated less than a fellow human being. I don't want to put words in the mouth of Black Lives Matter. I am not a member of the black community, but I would imagine that the protest is similar in that vein. We not only want to be heard, we want to be understood. And if you struggle to understand us, we want to at least know that you're trying. You are working inside the National Hockey League. You work for and with Commissioner Gary Bettman and for and with the National Hockey League. Are you sensing a greater degree of willful awareness, a greater degree of interest in these matters, or do you find occasionally that you're still bumping up against walls?
I would say I'm seeing an amazing level of interest in wanting to be listeners and learners. I think we typically find that that people, particularly men and particularly white men in positions of power, are used to problem solving. Understand problem, find solution. And when it's an area that they don't have competencies in order to do that, they do the work. And I have used this analogy with our owners, our presidents, our CMOs, those in positions of power, that just like any other business problem, this requires you to do the work. And I've had many both group and individual conversations over the past 3 weeks, and I haven't had anyone be resistant, much different than that. They have reached out to me for support and help. And I think we have to leave space for an understanding that people are going to come to this in different ways, and they aren't going to all engage on social media, and that doesn't mean that they aren't committed to doing their work. Some people are going to be quiet listeners. Some people are going to be introverted listeners. Some people are going to just do action and not make a big deal about it in the public square. And I think we have to leave room and space for all of these modalities and these styles and suspend judgment.
Yeah, the NHL and former players, current players, we're seeing a lot actually come forward with tweets and messages. And then we're seeing, you know, there's another side that they don't feel comfortable and they're not going to use social media as a platform. And I haven't said it's been good either way, but it's nice to know that the hockey community is kind of coming together. And, you know, we haven't seen this before, especially from the white players actually and the leaders in the league. But we were talking on this show, and something we'd want more of is the owners of the league kind of coming forward and making statements and stuff. And maybe if there could be, you know, more involvement in that sense, but we don't know kind of what happens behind the scenes and what they're doing. Is that something where you are going to see different things happen moving forward?
Yes, you will, for sure. We will be announcing in the next 2 weeks or so work that we have been putting in place for the past 6 or 7 months, and that is the creation of an executive inclusion council that is made up of a number of owners, a number of presidents, and a number of GMs. The first time in hockey's history that we've had a group at that level be focused on their own listening and learning around these issues. So, yes, I do think we're seeing, and you will see more of that.